everyone. Welcome to another episode of podcast.cameronbenga.com. Today, I got the fourth interview in this summer podcast series where we're talking to people who are big in tech. Today's interview is pretty special for me because it's someone whose work I've always really appreciated personally and someone who I think throughout their lifetime has done more for technology and computers than pretty much anyone else on the face of the planet, and that is Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak. Steve and I had a chance to talk not only about what kind of computer he uses and what he does now in his free time, but also what he would have done if he was working on the iPhone and what improvements he would have made to the device that he feels could have been made easily. It's a really great interview, and I hope you enjoy it. I did have to record the interview over Skype because of some technical problems I had on my side, so the audio quality is not quite what I would have loved it to be. However, I still hope you enjoy the interview. All right, welcome to another episode of podcast.cameronbenga.com. I'm Cameron Benga, and sitting with me, I guess over the phone here via Skype, is Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak.
Hi.
One of the more...
Good to be here, Cameron.
Thank you for coming. Obviously, one of the more influential people ever with computers. There's very few names out there who've probably done as much with computers as you have. Quite a resume you have, and quite a few things that you've been working on, you know, throughout your lifetime that have made a big deal. So thank you very much for joining me.
It's great to be here. And, a lot of what really makes a big difference in our lives today in computers, I really didn't have a part in that because I kind of came from a time frame where you do everything yourself. Both, I would do the software and the hardware, and it was very goal-oriented. You know the end product you want to build. You just do every little step. So my skills weren't necessarily in hardware or software. They were in being able to figure out how to do something, whether you know anything at all to start with, but being able to almost write the books on the procedures. Nowadays, it's, a lot of it is, I want to recognize all the elements to work with and how do I combine them, and it's mostly in the software now. A long time ago, computers changed to the big variation, is software. It's applications. It's web apps. It's what's on the web.
So it's not what you're building necessarily, but what you can make what you're building do, as opposed to when you started and it was what you wanted to do with it and you just built it yourself.
Well, no, there are a lot more choices. And because there's a lot more choices, like a typical one-person project today is so huge in terms of, let's say, lines of code. Or, even a computer can't be designed by one person anymore, even the hardware or the software. It's got to be, huge, huge, dozens and dozens of people and teams. So it was a rare point in time, when I did it. But today, you sit there and basically you have to call a lot of other pre-made programs that fit into a framework mm-hmm. that's already been written by others to lay down your images and whatever on the screen in the right way, your buttons and your menus. And it's a different procedure than sitting down there, and I'll just write it to program every little word on the screen and tell it, when you work with the little specifics, they wouldn't be able to, you'd spend your whole life to build one program that's called a good program today.
So now it's just
so we work. We basically call APIs and routines that have been worked out by other people to do graphics and things the right way, and we interface with operating systems. I didn't have to interface with much of an operating system.
Well, then I guess now, you said you don't really do a lot of work in computers. Do you still build your own computers then? Do you still make your own stuff, or do you pretty much just go out and buy like anyone else?
Oh, I still have the skills, but it was a few years ago I did a project like that. Took a little microprocessor, studied all of its specs and timing and the instructions to make the interrupt structure work, and I designed a hardware-software device that just, made new Segway keys for my Segway with different speed codes. And it was very much the same sort of process, a simpler job than the Apple II computer by far, but it's still what I would like to do is the same thing. But I have such a lack of time. Mm-hmm. As you get older, and especially if you have life commitments, and then especially if you're a celebrity and you have a lot of fan base, you don't have the time to really be a full-time hardcore engineer, trying to do the best job anyone in the world can do. Those days are, those 20-hour days, years are gone.
Yeah, you said you built something for your Segway. I was reading about, you're on the Segway Polo team.
Yeah, I built a little device so I could, I went online and found the codes for the Segway keys, found the parts they were made of, I ordered some parts, I made a mistake, I ordered the right parts, I studied and wrote the thing to read your key code and then re-encrypt it and write it back out and make a new key code with a new speed.
So did you always have a love for polo, or was it just like you played with the Segway and then decided to join like that kind of thing? Or
no, I had a Segway, and some of the people around me with Segway started doing it, so I just joined in and tried it, thinking it was going to be a really dumb sport.
Uh-huh.
And the Segway just doesn't move quick enough like a human body, And actually, yeah. it was all an awful lot of fun. I mean, for us playing it, we had to develop a lot of strength and we had to develop a lot of skill. And we sweat a lot playing those games, and we have tough ones that are, well-earned victories when we get them.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool kind of sport. It's not something typical, but I guess you can maybe get some other Segway sports out there too. Then I guess curiosity now, do you run a computer now that, I guess you didn't build your own computer, but what kind of thing do you use since, you still have an Apple II lying around? Do you use that ever?
I wish I did. I would have an awful lot of fun with it, and maybe some year I'll just be so remote from society I will pull it out, and that's what I want to do. I use pretty much a Macintosh. I just play games are easy to come by, little paid applications or go on the web, get them for free. And, aside from most of my day, though, is spent email, general news websites, RSS news feeds about technology and entertainment, things I'm interested in. Most of it's email, and email comes from every direction. People I know, people who are, new fans. So that is, the internet really had a pluses and minuses. It was so neat at first to be one of the first people on the internet using it with a high speed line, and now everybody's there. It can drag you down.
So then you said you still use just a regular Macintosh and then work with that kind of stuff, basically just doing regular programming.
I'm like a lot of people who in recent years have made the transition from a desktop computer, that's their big power machine at home, and a laptop to carry around. And I made the transition to, hey, if I just have a good high-end laptop, that's all I need, and it's a lot easier to take care of one computer than two.
Yeah, I did the same thing myself, actually.
I made that step, and now we're in the step of, well, you got your laptop computer and you have your mobile phone, your iPhone. That could replace your entire computer, but I just find that, to me, the iPhone, when I get frustrated with navigating the screen or accidentally clicking the wrong things, I just put it in my pocket and say, I'll wait till this evening when I buy my real computer.
The iPhone 3G does come out here in a couple of days. Are you going to pick one up? Have you gotten one already?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to wait overnight.
Are you going to wait overnight?
I don't try to get them in advance.
I think I saw pictures on Engadget or something from the last release of you sitting out in the...
I did an all-nighter then. I'm going to do an all-nighter again.
So do you think the 3G is going to be something that's really going to push it even more into the mainstream? I mean, it's sold tons of units already, but do you think the 3G and the price point are what's going to kick it off now and make it a big success?
I think the new software, even for the older iPhones, is going to make a bigger mark than 3G. 3G, for us who want to spend maybe a little more, well, it's basically the same price. 3G is a little bit of, you don't lose anything, and some web pages will load up faster. So who could complain? I don't think it makes it a whole new world. I'm pretty happy most of the time with the speed. Not 100% of the time, but generally I'm happy with the speed. I think it takes a specialized web page to really show that, oh, good, I only have to wait 15 seconds instead of 30. I don't think that's the point. Pretty much getting quick answers, all day long, going to the internet for a quick answer, or, I think we a lot of people like me just use their iPhones to very much of the time just check the weather in a certain city, check a stock quote. If you've hacked it, now with the web apps, I've got, play your games with the web apps.
Yeah.
And now we'll have real apps. I mean, I just think it's like a whole nother small computer. Small gadgets that can do a whole bunch of different technical things. You can play with them and try this and touch this and, add this application and run it and discover a little trick inside of some other program that's on it. Those are the most fun things in the world to me. I grew up as a gadget guy. I love my newest little Garmin navigation system the same way.
Yeah, I found this out myself as I picked up the iPod Touch back in like October. Initially, I thought I would just use like an iPod because the first week of it, I couldn't pick up Wi-Fi at school until I started playing around with the settings and everything and got through IT and that kind of thing. And then once I found out that I could use it through Wi-Fi, no problem. It was just like I barely use my computer anymore because it was everything I got was quick answers, like you were talking about.
Yeah, and I think that there are some other people like myself who use a different phone for voice for various features it has and also carry an iPhone for the Internet access. And the Internet access, if you're on Wi-Fi, basically the iPod Touch is an iPhone. It's so close. It's just, it's just that issue if you're on Wi-Fi.
All right, and I guess another...
But I love it being so small and it's got more memory, so... I was a big Touch fan, but I wish both of them let me see the rating that I've given songs and let me, I'm listening to a song on a plane and I say, whoa, it's only got a 3-star rating. I'm going to up it to a 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't found the way to do that on my iPhone or iPod Touch yet.
Oh, yeah, I've never been a big person for the starring songs, but I can understand that.
You got the Touch, and for the price, you got your movies. I presume you have some movies on it.
Well, for like a student like me, it's amazing because you have everything you'd need ever like away from your computer in your room, you know, so if you're on the run or something.
And you've got your browsing and email now.
And for especially if you're on a college campus or something where Wi-Fi is easily readily available.
I absolutely share that. And you can still carry a small voice phone.
Yeah, exactly. I carry just a little Razor and use that for all the voice and then use this for everything else, almost like a PDA, but just not. But I guess another thing was just, you know, is one thing I've noticed personally is just going to this iPod Touch and you see how much you use it more almost than your regular computer because everything you do are the short answers and that kind of thing. But like a computer, like I know a computer that released last year, the MacBook Air, which was one that got kind of a little bit of criticism when it released because it didn't have a CD drive, you know what I mean? Space was kind of an issue. But do you see like laptops moving to that? Because obviously that's almost just, if you wanted to look in a median between like the iPhone and like a regular laptop, I mean, that's something that's still really small but offers you everything. Do you think that device is going to be really popular, even though it still lacks a lot of the features of a typical laptop?
Well, from things I read, it sounded like the Air was selling well and very popular. I don't really notice my friends and people very often having Airs, but I've noticed it a little, and that's you know, sometimes when something's new, even when it's doing very well, you only notice a little at first. So I think the Air is popular. People use it because it works, and it doesn't just crash and fail, and they haven't been left behind on any of the important Apple advances in hardware or software. I personally have had trouble. I've been trying to move the Air in as my main laptop in my life, figuring I can carry all my media on an iPod. A big iPod will carry, you know, all my music and whatever. But then if I'm going to have an Air, I've got to have a big computer at home to store my songs, my photos. So I'm having all these different conflicts of how do I make it my primary computer? Whereas I know a lot of people that don't have as big of a life as I do in terms of amount of music and amount of photos and numbers of things they do and apps and wanting to be able to edit movies on occasion and create websites. So they, you know, for them, an Air is maybe very, very ideal. And Apple makes very good decisions about what to put in, what to leave out. And I think they might have jumped the gun a little bit on leaving out the DVD drive.
Mm-hmm.
But that might, in other words, I think that might inhibit them from, it might be the difference even between success and failure. Depending how the product goes, if the product fails, it might have made it if they'd only made it a little thicker with that in it. Because I see an awful lot of small little ultralight laptops, not an awful lot, but I see a few from other brands, and I look at them and I think it's an Air at first. They're so tiny. So the tininess really, you know, it's easy to get by, and they all have the drives built in.
So that might be, well, I mean, obviously it's a little bit down the road before that's the kicker, yes or no, but that could be something. I think the over-the-air drive or whatever it is where you can put in a CD into a regular computer, that's pretty cool, but again, if you're out somewhere, it's kind of useless.
And also having to track yourself over to another room is just too big of a stopping point. So I just, you buy the DVD drive, and it's nice and comfortable, but if you're always going to travel with that with you, and there's good reason to, because people pass a lot of data, big data, on to other people on DVDs that they burn.
So that's not a problem.
So, I mean, for sure you pass it on a flash drive, and they got to hand you the flash drive back, but you can give them the DVD to keep. And I find I burn a lot of CDs and pass them to people.
Yeah, that's the one thing I find here is working at, like, a radio station is we're getting CDs constantly. So that's one thing that, you know, my laptop didn't have it. It'd be a huge problem. But then, so you're going to go pick up a 3G iPhone. And then that'll get rid of your regular iPhone.
I'm going to get a couple. I'm going to get both colors.
And oh, really?
I'll put a couple of my numbers on them, and I'll give up. I'm making a decision what phone to give up for for that. Well, my current iPhone, I think, is going to, even though I love the beautiful metal, you know, the chrome case, I'll probably retire it and move on to a white 3G in its place.
Uh-huh.
A black 3G, I'll make my main phone.
So the black 3G and then the white one.
I don't know. I've got to figure out a whole strategy for this.
Well, if you're going to go camp out for them, you're going to have some time to kind of consider that, I guess.
It'd be horrible if I camped out and they said you can only buy one.
I heard that yesterday. I was reading about something, how they're going to try to limit you to one, especially, I guess.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, that's what I read yesterday. They were talking about how they were going to, you need your social security number, you need a credit card, and pretty much like five forms of
identification. Oh, but I didn't realize that I didn't read the whole thing. I knew the credit card, social security number. And I didn't read if they're going to limit it to one. Well, I'm screwed. Oh, well, you know what? I figure I'll be able to get it within a week or so.
Yeah, probably. Well, I heard Apple stores might... Well, I heard maybe with AT&T or Apple stores, they're going to sell them without the contract, but they're going to be like $600.
I think you have to go out... Oh, yeah, without a contract, but I think still locked to AT&T.
Yeah, you're locked to AT&T, but you could get two that way.
Yeah, and people were screaming about it, but I actually don't think it's reasonable. I mean, basically, you know, after this amount of time, we all know that the big money is in the subscription. Same thing with, you know, printer cartridges.
So
they
might
limit you. Printer for free. They'll give you a phone for free because they're making their money on your commitment to a subscription.
Were you surprised they dropped it as low as, like, I think it's $199 and then, I guess? Is that... Did you think that was low, or did you just figure that's a subscription cost?
How much?
I think, aren't they launching at $199?
Oh, for the 8 gig model, yeah. And, you know, I don't even know, for my accounts, I don't really think about the price that much. If it were an iPhone for $600, I'd say, you know, well, that seems reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in the high-end category. And if it's an iPhone for $200, well, that seems really good. But then they increased the plan that you have to commit yourself to by $240, and they dropped the price of the iPhone by $200. It's a good, really good marketing strategy because it makes it a low cost to get in, you know, and then you know what your monthly fee is and use it appropriately. You can buy a lot of different plans, so you can always adjust the cost of your plan to, you know, if you have a little bit less money, buy a cheaper plan with fewer minutes.
I got one last big question, and I'm not really sure. This is a really hypothetical question, I guess. And we were talking earlier about how computers now are teams of 100 people as opposed to when, you know, the Apple II or Apple I was created, and it was, you could do it in a garage, and it was one guy, no problem. I guess, like, if you were still working and developing hardware, especially a device like a cellular phone, let's say on an iPhone and 3G, if you could change anything about a device like the iPhone 3G, what would you add to it to make it, I guess, if you could have worked on it, what would you have improved on it, or what would you make different?
Well, I would have added actually a number of really great things that have become a part of our culture with cell phones for a long time. Voice dialing makes it a lot more hands-free in a car. I don't know if I'm in favor of any sort of cell phone calls in cars. That would help. Also, when I'm on a Segway, I put a helmet on, and I can't even push the button on a Bluetooth, so I want auto-answer. Mm-hmm. You know, and all my other phones have these sort of things, but Apple always tries to limit your options to make the device simpler, more understandable, and that's better for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But it catches a bunch of us who, I wish that were in that word. I wish it's an iPod, so I wish it had stereo Bluetooth. It could be that some of these things are coming out in version 2.0, and I haven't had time to really praise myself fully.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I wish it would tether my computer to the Internet, connect my computer through the iPhone directly to the Internet at edge speed or at 3G speed. And that's one of the most valuable things I find in my life. I'm very mobile. I'm constantly traveling. I'm constantly in other places. This year's been a very bad year for reliability of Internet in hotels. Half the hotels I've stayed at, 50% at least, have had the Internet not working when I got there. And I resort to my Verizon card or through my AT&T cell phones to get my computer onto the Internet. This happens, it even happened in another country, just the last trip I took. So that card is, cell phone access to the Internet is the most valuable computer accessory I've ever had in my life. I wish we built in tethering to the iPhone, because every other phone can do it, it seems. And you know, I'm not sure the reasons. I mean, Apple might be doing their own software, not wanting to license other people's software. Bluetooth, apparently the new software is going to allow you to use your iPhone to control iTunes. And I used to love that. Years ago, I had a Sony Ericsson phone, and I'd lay in bed in a hotel, and I could just use the joystick forward and back to advance and go back songs, or I could go up and down for the volume, and I could press it to pause. One little joystick controlled everything, and I could lie in bed in the dark and use it. Now, an iPhone, now that they make it able to control iTunes, you still have to look at an iPhone to hit the button correctly.
Yeah, that's the problem with having tactile buttons.
So it's not a complete controller. Like, if you know the program Sound Clicker lets you control almost all the applications on your Macintosh from a Bluetooth cell phone. But they all have a fuller Bluetooth implemented than Apple does. I want to be able to transfer my address book from my iPhone into my car, which is a Prius. And some of my phones can do it and some can't. I mean, that's another one that I missed on the iPhone.
So just a couple features here and there?
It's like they didn't license the full Bluetooth profiles, all the Bluetooth profiles that make it much more versatile. And Apple generally says, well, we want to protect our users, we want to be careful, make sure we do the right things, this and that. But, you know, every other company in the world manages in, you know, reasonable time to get these sort of features into phones. Like look at it. First you couldn't even have your own ringtone, and then they went to selling them. Now at least you can create them in GarageBand.
That's true, yeah.
How could a ring phone, you know, impinge AT&T's network? How could it be a security problem?
Well, that's all the licensing problems with the music provider.
So there's a lot of things. So there's a lot of things I'd like, but you know what? In every single one of them, if I really think about it honestly, they're minor. I can get by without them. I'd have to give something up here and there, but look how much I'm getting. Just the beauty of the phone and the simplicity, you know, the way the entire system works.
Well, thank you very much for your time. We're about out of time now, Steve, so thank you very much. Good luck getting your iPhone on Friday, right? They're coming out Friday morning, I think?
Yep, Friday morning. I'll be in line overnight Thursday. I probably won't, because I have some other a TWIT conference I have to do that evening.
Oh, nice.
I won't be, like, first in line here, but I'll be, you know, probably in the first 50.
That's good. Yeah, I just saw an interview, I think, on some site yesterday with the guy who, I can't remember where he's at, but where the time delay is, he's going to be the first person to own one.
He's in New Zealand.
Yeah, I
have friends in New Zealand. See, New Zealand is going to get the iPhone, let me think, I figured it out, 39 hours, hold on, let me think, it was 19 plus 8, so 27 hours before we get it in California. No, I'm sorry, 29 hours before we get it in California, they'll have it. My gosh, if somebody had a private jet, they could fly one over here, and you could have it in the States before it's on sale.
You might as well just take a bunch of those and go to the guys in the front of the line. And then
go to the AT&T store and says, could you activate this for me? Well, where'd you get it?
Well, thank you very much, Steve. It was great talking to you.
Okay, nice talking to you. Have a good day with your iPod Touch. I love hearing that.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of podcast.cameronbanga.com. For more on me, you can check out my website. That's www.cameronbanga.com. Or you can send me an email at cameron@cameronbanga.com. Until next time, have a great one.